brought us the light of guidance and salvation. He brought us the light of guidance and salvation. The majestic prophet, alayhi salam.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. There are many virtues and blessings of reciting salat and salam and durood upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And sometimes in the hadith, it mentions specific amounts that if a person recites those specific amounts, then he will get a special reward in accordance to it. So for example, if a person recites salutation once, Allah will shower 10 blessings upon him. If a person recites 10 times, Allah will 100 blessings upon him, remove of 100 of his sins and elevate his rank by 100. A person who recites durood 50 times, the Prophet ﷺ will shake hands with that individual on the Day of Judgment. Now, if a person, he decided to send salutations 100 times every single day, what would happen to this individual? Sending salutations for 100 times a day might only take you maybe 3 to 5 minutes. At the very most, 3 to 5 minutes, not longer. But the reward is this, that Allah will write between his eyes that this person is free from hypocrisy, nifaq, and the fire of hell. Allahu Akbar, a person recites durood 100 times, Allah will write between his eyes, meaning it will be written on his forehead, that this man is free from hypocrisy. And the angels who are carrying the people and throwing them into the fire of hell, they will be able to read upon this person's face that Allah has granted him salvation from the fire of hell. And not only that, and Allah will keep him with the shuhada, with the martyrs on the Day of Judgment. Allahu Akbar. Such an immense and beautiful reward for that person who spends just a little amount of time every day in remembering the majestic one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah will free that man from hypocrisy. Allah will free that man from the fire of hell. Allah will write this Bashara, will light this glad tiding in between his eyes, and Allah will make him raised with the martyrs on the Day of Judgment. Allah will keep him with the martyrs on the Day of Judgment. This is our Rabb. This is the mercy of our Rabb. That person might do a small action, might do a limited action, but Allah will give him such a great reward. Allah will grant him such a high status to it. So we should always try to remember the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, trying to send salutations upon him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who on the Day of Judgment will have this written between their eyes that this man or this woman has been given salvation from the fire of hell, and this man and this or this woman can enter paradise with itminan, with ease. May Allah make us of those. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Welcome back to the program, The Majestic Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in which we talk about the obligation to love him Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in which we talk about why loving him Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is important, why we should have an attachment with him, why we should have a connection with him, and around this theme which we are focused upon. Then we also talked about certain things which will make us fall in love with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such as his miracles, his beauty, his good manners, etc. And today we're going to talk about something which he sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded us to do. Now, why is this important to loving him? When you love an individual, what he tells you to do, you take it on board and you do it with your utmost efforts. And what he refrains you from is equally as important as the things he tells you to do. The things he tells you to do, they bring you closer to him. The things he tells you to refrain from, distances you from problems, distances you from trials and tribulations, distances you from the world. When you are distanced from the world, then only will you be attached to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are many stories and parables and waqi'at we find in the books, but we will focus on one before we get onto the main topic, and that is the story of the leader of hundreds and thousands of Hanafis, none other than Sayyiduna Imam A'zam Abu Hanifa wa rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam A'zam rahmatullahi alayhi would do trade in order to earn a halal livelihood, meaning he was a businessman by trade. Allah and His Prophet encourages business. Try to do business, halal business. That's the condition with it. That any type of livelihood, any type of earnings you want to do, if they are not halal, then cut them out straight away. No two questions about it. No second opinion about it. If it's haram, it's haram. Don't try to find a way to earn it. Don't try to find a way to get close to it, because you will only hurt yourself. If it's halal, if it's mubarak, if it's something which is promoted in the hadith, in the Quran, in fiqh, then do your best efforts to be a good businessman. Do your best efforts to be a good tradesman. He, rahmatullah alayhi, he was famous. He wasn't just a normal businessman. He was just a normal trader. He was a prominent trader. He used to sell clothes. He was a cloth trader. And he would follow the rules of fiqh in relation to trading. He was an Islamic trader and would follow those principles. And even in his trade, even in his business, he would always look out for other people. He would always like have best wishes and well wishes for these Muslims. Sayyiduna Hafs bin Abdul Rahman rahmatullah alayhi has stated that I would participate, meaning I would go with Imam Azam to trade, to do business. Whilst sending me goods, he would inform me, "Oh Hafs, such and such a cloth has some defect. Tell it to the buyer when you sell it." Sayyidina Hafs rahmatullah alayhi once sold the goods but forgot to tell the defect before selling. When Imam Azam rahmatullah alayhi came to know about this, he rahmatullah alayhi gave the amount of all the clothes in charity. Allahu Akbar. Look at the way we train our apprentices. And look how Imam Azam was training his apprentice. His apprentice came, Imam Azam told him a true man's trade, a true man's business, that you don't lie, your word is everything. If you go to that man and you're selling him something, tell him there is a defect in this. Tell him that there's something wrong with this. What do we do? Oh, keep it hidden, don't tell him. If he asks, just blend it. Don't need to mention it. If he asks, then give him an answer. If he doesn't ask, then let it slide. This is what we're teaching our future generation of businessmen, to cheat, to lie, to deceive, to earn haram. When Imam Azam, when he found out that by accident, Sayyidina Hafs rahmatullah alayhi forgot to mention the defect which was found in a certain cloth, all the cloths which he took to sell that day, Imam Azam gave them all in charity. He didn't even want a speck of haram in his livelihood. He didn't care if he took a loss, but as long as he never took a loss in the deen. He didn't care that if he never gained anything that day, as long as he gained the pleasure of Allah. He never cared about this dunya. The more these people didn't care about the dunya, the more dunya came to them. The more these people were honest and truthful and good salesmen and businessmen, the more Allah granted them. And the story of those people who earn haram, who do haram, who do haram businesses, their money goes faster than it comes. These guys' money goes slower than it comes. Their money goes faster than it comes. So they're earning more, but they're still in a loss. These Muslim honest businessmen would earn less, but Allah would grant them so much barakah. You know, barakah doesn't necessarily mean that. One meaning is that it multiplies. For example, if you have a flock of sheep, and Allah grants it so much barakah that from 10 you go to maybe 1,000 within a year. It's possible. If Allah wants it to be possible, it can be possible. The second meaning of barakah is that Allah looks after your worldly affairs within that small amount. Meaning if you are honest, truthful, and you've only earned a certain amount. What you thought might cost you way more to cover, Allah will be able to cover that in that little money that you have. This is barakah. Another way scholars explain barakah, they say that when a dog gives birth, when a female dog gives birth, it gives birth to many puppies at a time. Meaning in one delivery, there can be 8-9 pups. Whereas a sheep, at the most, will give birth to 2 sheep or 2 goats, or will give birth to one. The goats and sheep are slaughtered every year in the hundreds and thousands by people. Yet even today, we find more sheep in this world, more goats in this world than dogs. Even though dogs are breeding maybe 9-10 times the rate of sheep. Sheep are getting slaughtered, goats are getting slaughtered every year, thousands, millions even. Yet at the end of the year, at the end of the day, there are still more sheep and goat present upon this earth than dogs. This is barakah. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained barakah to us through our eyes. We can look around and see this. This is not rocket science. This is normal empirical observation that you see these things in front of you. There are more sheep, there are more goats than dogs. Even though dogs breed at a higher rate, they have more children in one delivery. But because there's no barakah. But this barakah in this sheep and goat, Allah grants them abundance. So remember this as well, that sometimes you may think that I've got a lot of something, but it won't be enough. And sometimes you've got a little of something, and that will be sufficient from you. Salu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, the importance of earning pure and halal rizq is such that Allah has mentioned in the Quran with clear commandments. Allah says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَكُلُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي أَنْتُمْ بِهِ مُؤْمِنُونَ. Translation from Kanzul Iman. Eat from the sustenance which Allah has given to you, the lawful and the pure, and fear Allah in whom you believe. And another part of the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Ya ayyuha an-nasu kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba wa la tattabi'u khutuwati ash-shaytan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. Translation from Kanzul Iman. Ya ayyuha an-nasu, O mankind, eat from what is lawful and pure in the earth, and do not follow the footsteps of the devil. Undoubtedly, he is your open enemy. In the Tafsir Siratul Jinan, which is written by none other than the great Mufti of Islam, Mufti Qasim Hafizahullah, he says that pure things means pure and halal things mean goat, vegetables, lentils, meaning all the things which are halal to eat and which is obtained from lawful means. You cannot obtain something through theft or bribery or robbery or oppression and consider it halal for you. No, it's not, this is haram. Sayyidina Yahya bin Mu'az rahmatullah alayh once said, obedience is hidden in divine treasure and dua is the key to the door leading to this treasure. Halal food is the teeth of this key. If a person has key but the teeth are crooked, the teeth are not how they're supposed to be, the door will not open. How will one able to access the treasure which is hidden inside it? The way to do this is to have halal rizq, is to protect the morsel of food which you are putting in your mouth, that food which is going into your stomachs. You must protect it. You must know that what I'm feeding myself is halal and tayyib, and I refrain from haram. Allah stated in the Quran, translation from Kanzul Iman, eat and drink with pleasure the reward of what you sent ahead in the past days. And whoever does not refrain from consuming haram will eat hot and bitter tuhur fruit after remaining hungry for a very long time. Allahu Akbar. You know those people who fill their stomachs with haram and they think it doesn't have any effect on them? It has an effect. We'll talk about the effects it has on that person individually, upon his children, upon his lineage, progeny, his generations to come. But in the hereafter, that man who has ate haram, he will be kept hungry for many days. And after many days, he would call out, Ya Allah, grant me food, Ya Allah, grant me food, I'm hungry, I'm starving. He would cry out. First, the angels would ignore him for a very long time. And then when Allah will look at them and Allah will give them food, that food will be hot and bitter and it will burn. They will ask for water. The water will be so hot that they will bring the pots close to their face and their face will melt into that pot. It's for the people who eat haram. The Prophet alayhi salam has mentioned in many ahadith in relation to the fulfillment of halal, eating halal, earning halal, preaching halal. The Prophet alayhi salam says, whoever eats halal for 40 days, Allah will brighten, munawwar his heart, and will make the springs of wisdom flow out of his tongue. Meaning he will speak words of wisdom, and Allah will guide him in the world and the hereafter. Allahu Akbar, this is the effect of eating halal for 40 days. For 40 days you look at your diet. For 40 days you look at your earnings. For 40 days you look at your business. And you make sure that every single piece of food which is entering my body and the body of my children is halal. Allah will brighten your hearts. Allah will brighten your hearts and He will spring out wisdom from that individual. That when that individual speaks, there will be signs and words of wisdom emanating from his mouth. And Allah will guide him in the hereafter. And not only in the hereafter, but in this world as well. So sometimes a person might ask that I'm doing so many things, but I don't feel the spirituality. I don't feel it inside me. Maybe it's now time for you to check, is your earnings halal? Or are you cheating? Are you cutting corners? Are you lying to certain authorities to get extra money? If that's the case, then you know the reason yourself that why you're not feeling it. And if you are of those people who is indulged in these haram activities, who is involved in earning haram, then there is no goodness which will come from this. The Prophet says, whoever earned lawful wealth and then ate it himself, or wore the clothes attained from that earning and fed other creatures besides himself, such as his family and other people, and made them wear clothes, then his deed of his is a blessing and purity for him. Sayyidina Sa'd radiallahu anhu, he came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he very humbly, in a very humble manner, said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, udu ila Allah, pray to Allah that Allah answers my prayers. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that, Ya Sa'd, atib mat'amaka takun mustajab ad-da'wat. The Prophet said that, Ya Sa'd, atib mat'amaka, that, O Sa'd, purify what you eat, purify your food, purify what you are consuming, so your prayers will be answered. Allahu Akbar, the Prophet said, your prayers will be answered as long as what you are feeding yourself is halal. Many times our prayers are not answered. Maybe they're not answered because we're eating haram. Maybe they're answered because we're feeding haram. Maybe they're not answered because we're wearing haram. Maybe they're not answered because we're living in haram. All of these factors play a part in your acceptance of dua. Look, the first thing the Prophet mentioned, Ya Sa'd, atib mat'amaka, that, O Sa'd, purify your food. Takun, that when you purify your food, you will become mustajab al-da'wat. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. That was for those people who earn halal. Now, look, listen to the terrible consequences of those people who earn haram. And whilst you're listening to these, make firm intention that no matter what happens in my life, I will never resort to earning haram. It is never the answer, my dear brothers. I can promise you that with experience from what I've seen and what people have told me firsthand. People who used to own, no exaggeration, whole cities, people who used to have empires, because of the haram, the aspect of haram which was involved, today they don't even have anything to stand on. And it's not talking over a space of hundreds and thousands of years. We're talking these small gaps of 10, 15 years, 5 years, 3 years, that a person, he's lost everything. Why? Because maybe he wasn't cautious about the risk that he was earning. The Prophet alayhi salam says, I swear by the one under whose power the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is. A man puts a morsel of haram into his stomach. So his 40 days deeds are not accepted. And fire is better for that person who has consumed haram and riba to nourish his flesh. Astaghfirullah. The Prophet said that whoever puts a haram morsel, a little piece of haram in his mouth and it goes into his stomach. So for 40 days, his actions are rejected. His actions have, they're not accepted. And fire, if he was to eat fire, put fire in his stomach, that would have been better for him than to eat that haram and to take a riba interest to nourish his flesh, to look after himself. It is mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salam that when the deceased, when the dead person is placed on the bier and raised his soul, meaning when he's upon the deathbed, he has passed away, he's on the bed, they're carrying him. His soul anxiously sits on that and cries out, "Oh my relatives, ensure that the world does not play with you like it has played with me. I accumulated halal and non-halal mal," meaning I never had any difference between halal and non-haram. "And then I left that mal, I left that property, I left that earning wealth for others. Its benefit is for them and its harm is for me. Therefore, I learn a lesson from what I have faced." Allahu Akbar, that a person, he earned halal, he earned haram, he mixed them together. Then he passed away. The people after him came, they didn't know that it was mixed. So they just considered it to be halal and they kept using it. And they are forgiven for that if they never knew. And this man is saying that they benefited from it. They used it. They applied with it whatever they wanted to do. And I was held accountable for it on the day of judgment. So don't make the same mistake I made. The person who purchases a cloth with 10 dirhams, and if one dirham out of the 10 is haram, his salah will not be accepted until any portion of that cloth remains in his use. Allahu Akbar. If your wardrobe is filled with clothes made of haram, if the clothes you're wearing, if the clothes you put on the bodies of your children and family are that which has come from haram, Allahu Akbar. It's a hadith of Kanzul Ummal. His salah will not be accepted until any portion of that cloth remains in his use. So that, this is to show and stress upon the extensiveness and how grave of a matter it is. That don't just think because you bought like a few haram things with haram, you bought a few things with haram money, it's fine, don't worry about it. Worry about it. An angel of Allah Azza wa Jal every day and night proclaims on the roof of Baytul Muqaddas, Masjid al-Aqsa in Palestine, "Whoever consumes haram, Allah will neither accept any of his fard, nor will Allah accept any of his nawafil." Allahu Akbar. Meaning if you have consumed haram, whoever consumes haram, they continue to consume haram, none of their obligatory or voluntary prayers are accepted in the court of Allah. Allahu Akbar. These are such heart striking narrations that is it really worth for me to earn that extra bit of money in the haram manner? And what am I risking? I'm risking none of my prayers to ever be accepted. I'm risking none of my faraid and voluntary prayers to ever be accepted. I'm expecting the curse of Allah to be upon me. Are all of these things worth you making that little bit of extra money for? Is it worth you to make that money and risk it hereafter? Of course it's not worth it. And we should refrain from it. Refrain from it. The more you refrain from it, the more of a firm intention you make, I'm not going to do it, the more Allah will open the doors. You think Allah doesn't know that you're earning from this haram money? Absolutely Allah knows and He's testing you. If you put your tawakkul and trust in Allah and you say, "Ya Allah, I know I am being tested. I know that this path is not right for me. I am going to leave it for your sake, Ya Allah. You're the one who is Ar-Razzaq. You are the provider. I'm going to leave this haram for your sake. Ya Allah, provide me with something better." And wallahi, swear an oath by Allah that Allah will grant you something in exchange of you leaving that haram. Allah will grant you something, maybe better, maybe much better, maybe 110,000, maybe so many times more than you might have imagined. But what's the condition? Putting the trust in Allah, leaving something haram for the sake of Allah. This is what the Prophet preached. Even in the life of the Prophet alayhi salam, the Prophet was a businessman. The Prophet had businesses, he traded, he went to different countries, he took business trips, but he was honest. He never lied. He helped people. He gave what was good value. He never cheated. He never lied. He set an example that you can be an honest person and trade. You can be an honest person and do business. You can be a leader, an imam. You can be all of these things, and yet you don't have to implement your authority to have good sales. Be a good businessman and Allah will grant you. Allah will bless you. Allah has put more barakah in business as well. I would always recommend, not everyone can be a businessman, not everyone can be of that stature, but the people who have the opportunity and they have options to try out halal businesses, I would recommend to do this. It's encouraged in the hadith to do business. Our beloved teacher, a very close teacher to my heart also, they used to say that if you work, you will feed your family. If you do business, you will feed your generations. And there's a hadith that there will soon come a time when it would be impossible to do the work of deen without money. So we need rich, prominent Muslim figures who support Dawat Islami because of the work it's doing. Working in over 190 countries. Recently, I was speaking to a brother from South Africa. He goes, Dawat Islami has only been in South Africa for a very short period of time in comparison to other countries or other things. Yet in a small, short time, 15,000 people have accepted Islam from what he knows and what he has seen. And that's just one region, one country of the world. And if Allah has given you wealth, if Allah has given you money, if Allah has blessed you, why don't you give in the path of Allah? And by giving in the path of Allah, Allah will increase in your rizq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us barakah in our rizq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from earning haram and give us the ability to earn halal. Ameen bijahin nabiyya al-ameen wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
He brought us the light of guidance and salvation. He brought us the light of guidance and salvation. The majestic Prophet alayhi salam.